Someone said one time, they're not sure who wrote this, but one person thought maybe Jesus did. I don't believe Jesus wrote it, but whoever did was really, really in tune with the work of the Holy Spirit. We're going to cover the first three verses here, 1 through 3. And if we can get that far, we'll be doing well. Very well. Took me 13 years and a half to get through that far to understand them. Hopefully we can get through it in 20 minutes. Someone in the back said, "Amen, preacher, 20 minutes, that'd be a new record for you." I heard that. Someone thought it and I heard it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest." That's the promise. "For we which have believed do enter into rest. As He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." You who believe, enter into rest. For 13 and a half years, I've been asking myself this question. What is He talking about by rest? What's He talking about by the works are finished from the foundation of the world, if it says elsewhere that the Heavenly Father and Jesus are both still working? What's that talking about? I got my answer this week. I want to share it with you, because when you put these parts in place in your life, you will have a profound and dramatic impact on how you see yourself and life. It will clarify a lot of other scriptures, which we're going to do as well. And it should also help you understand what it's all about to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. That's a tall order, isn't it? Only God can fill it by His Word. And to that end, let us seek Him in a word of prayer together and ask His blessing and His Word to come forth. Thank You, Jesus, for all that You've done, for all that You continue to do, and all that You've promised You will do. Right now, let Your Word have its work in us. Let it begin to manifest. And may it come to us in a way that is powerful, moving, and strong. I ask You this, Heavenly Father, that we who hear and believe would enter into the rest that You promised. And let us not harden our hearts this day, Lord, but open up to Your mercy and Your blessing. Thank You. I ask You this in the name of Jesus, so that the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, and the thoughts in our minds would be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. We've been talking ever since December about different promises. Well, here's another one. If you believe, you enter into rest. Doesn't mean you get to go to bed early. Doesn't mean you sleep better, but you might. It doesn't mean anything about physical rest. It's talking about something much deeper. I'm going to put the parts in place for you this morning, and hopefully you'll connect, if you will, the dots or the pieces before I connect them for you. And if you do, then the last piece, which I haven't given you, will come to you in a very powerful way. We've been talking about, when we talked about John 14 and all the promises, that there are some things in there and in 15 that God is doing for us and what He's trying to do. Number one is He said He's going to give us something that will comfort us, the Holy Spirit. So we'll have comfort. The second thing He's going to do is He's going to give us a joy. Third thing He said He's going to do is He's going to give us peace. Not as the world gives it, but as He gives, will He give to us His peace. It all starts, this process, back in John 14, verse 1. It's such a familiar verse to us, where it says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." That's what Jesus says. As a matter of fact, He also concludes that 14th chapter of John with the same words. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let them be afraid. Well, I always thought that that was talking about that He's getting ready to go, so He wants them to know this. But there's something else right in that verse. And if you ask this question, you begin to see the unrest that we have. In order for us to enter into rest, we first of all have to be at unrest. Now let's look at what that unrest is. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." Now, why does that go together? How can your heart not be troubled just because you believe in God and in Jesus? What is this troubling of our hearts that He's talking about? What is He really trying to say? And I believe the first thing that we need to look at is that Jesus is going to be apart from the disciples very soon. That's the night in which He was being betrayed. That He was going to be gone from their lives as they had known Him for 3 years. No longer will He be there. Do you not think in our lives, once we come to a relationship with Jesus Christ and begin to enter into that, that if He doesn't seem like He's there, we get a little nervous? Don't you think that once you have someone you can trust on and rely on and they're no longer there, that your heart might get a little anxious? There are several people in this very room who can say, "I know very well what that's like because I've lost someone who I spent most of my life with. And when they were gone, I had some anxiety and some worry and some fear and some lonely nights." And it's true. God has understood that. Jesus says, there comes a time in our lives when He feels, or we feel, that He is distant. Or that Christ is not visibly active in our lives. Catch this. If you believe in God the Father, then you need to invest the same amount in His Son, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ will do what He said. When we give our lives to Jesus Christ and begin to follow His lead as disciples, John 15 talks about us being disciples. He says that He's going to care for us and manifest Himself to us. And when we do that, we establish not a religious connection to Jesus, but an internal one, from our heart to His heart. That kind of establishing of that heart to heart is what's called relationship. We begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but the day I gave my life to Jesus Christ was not the ending of the relationship. It was the beginning. On that day, I was so excited I didn't care who knew. Matter of fact, I couldn't shut up. I was so different inside. I wanted everybody to know. I was running around crying and laughing. prayed for the first time in my life, I had no fear, no worry. I was at peace inside. For the first time in my 15 and a half years at that time. Jesus Christ did that. And I wanted to tell everybody. Why? Because for the first time with Him in me, I felt peace. Now, at that moment, I knew that He was who He said He was. If you fast forward my life a few years after that, about 4 years after that, you would see that I was no longer as excited about it. As a matter of fact, I think somewhere in our late teens, early 20s, a lot of us go through this phase where we kind of step back from church, from fellowship, and I did that for about 6 to 8 months. I just kind of separated myself, thinking, well, it wasn't as good as I thought. We have a lot of folks in their 20s and 30s, they wander away from where they were taught, but they come back to it when they start looking for their purpose, for what makes life make sense. You know, at that age, I just wanted to hang out with friends and have a good time. You know, eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow I'm going to die. That's what kind of fella I was back 4 years after Christ came real to me. You would think that I had left God and God had left me by the way I was living. But the fact of the matter is that deep down inside He planted a seed of His Word. In time, and at the right time, it would grow. But not right away. It had to, first of all, get nurtured. And I had to learn what it was like to enter into unrest. When there was no peace, no joy, no comfort internally, because of choices I was making. Granted, we can say, well, you were just a teen and all this. That's not an excuse. The fact of the matter is, some of us come to Christ and we keep getting closer all the time. Some of us, it's sweeter and sweeter as the days go by from day one. For me, I had to find out what life was all about because I hadn't really lived much. And I entered into unrest. Live it that way. Why? Because the relationship that I had with Jesus Christ was not my primary relationship. Oh sure, He had answered prayers. He had helped me. He had already called me into the ministry, but I was still kind of wandering around here and there trying not to acknowledge it. And from time to time, He had put me in a place where I really had to call on Him to remind me that I still needed Him. And He had humbled me real well. He'll do that to make sure we still know that He's the author and finisher of our faith. He wants us to know that. And I share this with you because until we understand that without Jesus Christ, we are in unrest. But what is unrest? Unrest is a sense that things are not quite right in your life. That you're not quite where you need to be. That you still have something to work on before God can bless you, or you still feel like something is wrong with your faith, or you're not responsive enough. If there's just something that says, there's something missing still. A lot of believers walk around with that feeling. I'm still missing out on the big picture. I don't have the joy like they do. I don't have the peace in my troubles like they do. A lot of us walk around like that. And we say, what am I missing? And in the Christian faith, for years I was like that. I had an inner sense of knowing I belonged to God, but I didn't have a joy like a dear friend of mine named Rosemary Cash. Rosemary Cash, 74 years old. I became her pastor at a place called Ohio Chapel. And she had the joy.
She was always happy in Jesus. I saw her no matter where she was. She was always full of joy. Scripture says when you're connected to Jesus, you got that. And when she'd have struggles, she still had peace and comfort. And one day I got to know Rosemary a little bit better. And I found out her husband, who suffered was from Alzheimer's, doesn't even know who she was anymore. And in the midst of that, in the midst of that trial, God was still faithful to her. And she still had joy. And I said, well, what about your husband? She said, she'd smile and say, he doesn't know me anymore. But that doesn't matter. I care for him and I see after him and I look after him. And I have friends who come over and give me some time away when I need it. And God supplies every need. It's not about whether my husband knows me or not. It's about that God knows me. And He supplies every need. Because God is my first relationship. When that one's in place, the others start falling in line also. Like I said, 4 years after the Lord became King of my life, I didn't prioritize that relationship for a while. It says in Matthew 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He'll take care of the rest. Well, that sounds like a nice promise, but it kind of falls on like, well, okay, I'm going to seek, I'm going to pray, I'm going to read the Bible. How else do I do this? Like we're trying to do it. But let me tell you something. When you enter into the rest, which I'm going to share with you in just a moment, how to do that. It's second nature to you to seek God's kingdom and His righteousness. You won't even think about all the rest. I mean all the other things. Because you'll have a rest inside. And maybe you're trying to find that rest right now. I'm going to share with you that it can happen right now. In the third verse of chapter 4 of Hebrews, where we're looking this morning, it says, God has entered into rest, and His works are finished from the foundation of the world. Yet, the cross had not occurred yet. Christ had not even given His life. He had not been resurrected. The prophets hadn't spoke. The Scriptures hadn't been fulfilled. Only thing that had happened was creation. So it says there that God rested and has finished the works from the foundation. Yet over in John 5, Jesus says, I am working and the Father is working. And Jesus even confirms when He dies on the cross with His last three words, it is finished. And yet, it says that Jesus Christ still works today. So, how do we resolve that in our mind if God is finished at creation, and yet Christ continued to work until Calvary, and says, I'm done, and now He's still working, and the Father is still working. What's He working on? If He's not working on what He's working on. Kind of a oxymoron there. And let me tell you what I came to understand. The work that was finished is that God's authority was established as Creator. That He is established as God the Father by the creative act of making this world. What Christ's act on Calvary when He finished it was His role, His persona, His identity as Savior, Redeemer, King of Kings, Lord of Lords was done. He no longer has to prove He's that. Calvary says, I am Jesus, I am the Christ, the Messiah who was to come, who is come, and has come. That's been established on the cross. The resurrection established that He's able to conquer death. But He has done all the work He needed to do to establish He's Messiah on Calvary. Okay? It's a different work. The work that God rested from was establishing Him as the Creator. The work that Jesus finished was Him as Messiah. He no longer has to do more to show that He can be your Redeemer. However, just because you have finished building a house doesn't mean you have to live in it. Once you build the house, you got to start living in it to make it a home, don't you? You can put the final nail in place, the last piece of carpet and furniture and clothes in the closet, and say, I'm done! You're done building, but you're not done living in it. You're just now starting to live in it. And what God is doing, and what Jesus Christ is doing today, is establishing relationship with you and I. That's the work they're doing now. Remember, Jesus Christ is not here to establish Himself as Lord and Savior. He's here to seek and save the lost. His job is to establish relationship with us. He's trying to make you and I His friends, to bring us to be God's children rather than orphans. That's what He's trying to do. In John 15, the movement is like this. You begin as a disciple when you give your heart to Christ and your life. And then you become a servant. And after that, you become Jesus' friends. Intimate friends. And He begins to share with you all the things He's doing and how He's blessing you. Why is this important? Let me put it to you this way. The rest that we enter is in the relationship with Jesus Christ. Not as our priority. Because that's not what it's all about. That's only the beginning of it. When you enter into that relationship, who you are, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, is a new creation. I once was a people without a God, but now I'm a person with a God. What I'm trying to say is, your relationship changes your identity. When you're single, you're single. When you're married, your identity changes. You're now a spouse. Before you have children, you're just a couple. When you have a child, you're a family. Every relationship you enter into changes your key and core identity. Who you are. And what we say when we come to Jesus Christ is, you have the authority to tell me who I am. Only Jesus has the authority to tell you who you are. When Jesus Christ is your key identity, and He establishes who you are, right? Then you realize that you're His child, the sheep of His pasture. That you're accepted in the Beloved. That there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. That you now walk by faith and not by sight. Everything that you used to know about you has changed based on your relationship with Jesus Christ. You say, God, but I'm so worried about my children and all this. And Jesus says, you line up with me. I am your priority. You seek me and establish yourself in this relationship. And when I wrap my arms around you, and you know that I'm Creator, Lord, King of Kings, that nothing is too difficult for me, all of a sudden you say, I trust you with my children. That you can do whatever you want to, and you can change them too, because I'm resting safe with you. My identity is with Jesus next to His heart. And next to His heart, I realize He can take care of anything in this world because He made it. He can do anything to me and in me because He made me. He can remake me if He needs to. He can refuse a femur if He needs to. He can take cancer and dry it up if He needs to. But I'm resting with my identity in Jesus, and I don't fear those things anymore because He's going to hold me forever. No matter what happens here, I'm with Him. And I'm going to secure myself in that relationship. And I find my identity is only what Jesus tells me I am. If I say, Heavenly Father, I have a difficult situation, I need help, He says, I already know about it, just come close to me. So you're not afraid anymore. Remember, He always says, you're never alone. Now, catch this, and I think you're ready to hear 14:1 again. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe God is who God said He was, the Creator. Believe also I'm the Savior, the Messiah. Believe that I am who I said I am. And when you know that I am who I said I am, and my arms wrap around me, you can rest. Let me tell you how this works in a simple way. I remember there was a tornado warning one time, and one of my sisters was out at a county fair a few blocks from the house. And I was scared, and I was frightened. And my mom and dad said, get in the basement, there's a tornado coming. And I said, what about sister? And said, God's got her, get down in the basement. And my parents were nervous, and I was scared too. And I went down in the basement. Mom sat next to me and she said, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. And then my dad came down and he grabbed me in his arms and held me. As soon as he held me, I was safe. Why? Because he would protect me at the expense of his life. And Jesus Christ proved on Calvary that He's going to redeem you at the expense of His life. When we're held in the arms of someone who loves us and cares for us, we feel safe. We can rest. When we're outside of a loving relationship, this world is cold, hard, and calloused. But when God wraps His everlasting arms around you, you can rest. And you enter into that rest and say, this is the only place I want to be, is next to Jesus. This is all that matters to me, because I'm safe here. The world can rage and storm, but Jesus calms the sea and tells the wind to die down. He can do that. And I'm here in the arms of my Master. And whatever happens to me is only what He allows. And so I'm safe here. Do you understand then that that causes rest when your identity is in Jesus Christ only? Because otherwise you got to take care of everything. And you got to take care of it. And if you're responsible for everything that happens in your life, there's no comfort in that. But once you're held, you can feel the joy of the heartbeat of God and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, you believe in God. Don't let your hearts be troubled because I can do the same. And then He goes on in that 14th chapter to say, I'm going to give you joy. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you comfort. And if those are from Jesus Christ and your relationship, and He says, I'm going to do whatever you ask me to do, and we're going to be together forever. What have you to fear? What have you to dread? I can rest there. Let the world do what it wants. But in my Savior's arms, it can't touch me. He kind of says it like this, and I like this. He said, if you're going to touch my beloved, you're coming through me first. And you know what? If He's for us, nothing else can be against us. Isn't that good news? So when you're in His arms safe, all you want is His kingdom and His righteousness. And you realize He'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of everything else. Everything else will be added. So where is your identity? Who are you? I can tell you who I am. I'm a child of God, resting in His arms. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for the rest. We can let go of the fear and anxiety when we are in Your arms held. Let go of the concerns and the frustrations and the worries about family who don't know You yet, sicknesses, losses, all these things. Because in Your arms, we understand that You've got it taken care of. You've created it, You understand it far better than we ever could. Heavenly Father, when we trust You, all that fear runs away. It melts into peace. And that peace is so comforting. Lord Jesus, You said You give us peace, not as the world gives, but the peace that You give is in spite of what the world gives. And even in the face of it. So thank You for the comfort, the peace, and the joy that my friend Rosemary experiences. And the joy that's available to each one of us, knowing that we are accepted, protected, and loved, and we can be fully accessible into Your kingdom. Thank You. Amen.
Page 259.
259 is what a friend we have in Jesus.